There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a bird council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean, and phone number, you would call me, you would text me, that's cool, 343-0106. I know the president is, heard him just a second ago, he's speaking right now, pushing spending, the infrastructure spending as an antidote to the supply chain crisis. He was whispering earlier, he did the, you know, you got it. It's a thing, rhetorical style that I just don't get, but he does the whispering, like when he was, I think he was whispering that you have to pay your fair share to the billionaires. Why would he whisper that to them? It's like a sweet nothing in their ear. We may go to some of this presser here in just a second. Also, I want to remind you, I had an interview earlier this week with Dr. Philip Carr from the University of South Alabama, and we were in here talking about those footprints out of White Sands that they discovered, that 23,000-year-old footprints out there. But he also reminded me that coming up tomorrow is International Archaeology Day, that and they're going to celebrate it at USA. They have their International Archaeology Day and Alabama Archaeology Month going on tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at University of South Alabama at the Archaeology Museum. The event featuring Native American and early colonial games, atlatl throwing. You ever seen the atlatl? You know that hum a little spear with the atlatl. Flint napping. That's a very cool. I like that too. Archaeology laboratory tours. That's going on tomorrow. More information, just go reach out to the Archaeology Museum at South. Their phone number is 460-6106. But I think if you Google it, you'll find more information on that. And so that's tomorrow. Also today, Dalton, did you know that today? Now, I've gotten two messages on this. It says October 16th, but I guess, okay, it's National Bosses Day. But if it falls, I guess if the 16th falls on the Saturday, then you celebrate it on the previous weekday. So I don't know how to celebrate it. We'll just duly note it and move on. National Bosses Day. I don't know what you do with that. All right, to the text line, and then we'll get back to this Navy story here. And also the governors in town. Dalton and I talked about that a second ago. And Dalton, this has been, so next week, I think I have at least one, if not two different interviews with people that will somehow be, their area will benefit by what the governor's announcing today, but they couldn't let me know what it is. I'll get to the story in a second. Okay, thank you for the update here. David says GoFundMe does not allow for the raising of money for funds for legal defense or to offset criminal penalties. Well, we'll just say it's for something else, man. It's going to be we're raising money for to get Lieutenant Colonel Scheller a new truck, and whatever he does with it, then that's his business, right? Terry says federal employees will start being fired on November 9th if they don't have the vaccine or an exemption. The problem is there is no procedure for exemption for most agencies yet. Don says, good afternoon, Sean. What's next with the military? Will they be mandating all veterans be vaccinated in order to receive their pension or VA benefits? Don, I hadn't even thought about that. I don't know that that's happening, but I mean, if you wanted to carry this on to the nth degree, right? Don goes on to say, I understand requiring the vaccine if you leave the country requiring, vaccines, will we be able to stop the wave of this mandate overreach? Joel in Somerdale says, I'm floored that we have been, planting green fields wrong our whole life. You're talking about, Joel may be making reference to some of the conversations we've had on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, or maybe the conversation I had with Bill Finch. If you're into that kind of stuff, you can always go get the podcast or listen to us tomorrow morning starting at 7. Mike and I got lots to talk about on the show. All right, I want to finish this Navy story for now. I don't want to finish it, but here's the story as it is. And then I want to hear from you. I wonder, what do you think comes of this? So if you go through, now the idea, once again, to be fair, the idea that members of the military would be required to get vaccines or shots for stuff is not new. Okay, it's not new. So, I mean, to make sure we're fair on this, it's not a new thing. But it says, from USNI News said, service members and, active service members will have to be vaccinated or face separation by November 28th. And then Ready Reserve Navy has to be fully vaccinated by the 28th. Says in order to meet the deadline, active duty members must receive their second dose of COVID vaccination, if receiving the two shot, by November 14th, according to it's not like they can start it. So active duty members must receive their second shot of the COVID-19 vaccine if receiving the two shot Pfizer or Moderna version by November 14th, according to Thursday's Navy News release. A person is not fully vaccinated until 14 days after receiving the second shot. For members in reserve, the deadline for the second shot is December 14th. So those deadlines are actually 14 days after you'd have to get the shot. Says, let's see, here's some stats on the number of people that have gotten the vaccine. Let's see. Also, it says that those who are separated for refusing the vaccine will be discharged with no lower than a general discharge under honorable conditions, according to U.S. Navy release. Those refusing the vaccine cannot be promoted, advanced, reenlist, or execute orders outside of ones involving separation. Any officer who refuses to be vaccinated will have any promotions delayed. Imagine if you're out, that would be it's tough if you're out of the Navy to get a promotion, right? Says, since the vaccination is mandatory, service members who refuse vaccine can be temporarily reassigned depending on operational readiness and requirements on the mission. Navy personnel can request an exemption for medical or religious reasons. It says, having COVID-19 in the past or having a positive serology test for the disease will not exempt a service member, according to the Navy. As of Wednesday, 94% of active duty sailors have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19, with 99% having received their first dose. Of the total force, 89% is completely vaccinated, 94% have received the first shot. So they're the stats. Remember, it was early on in this, what ship was it? Dalton, can you help? What ship? Navy ship. They had a big outbreak of COVID. Remember early on, and we're talking about there were like cruise ships too that out in the Pacific, and we wonder if they were going to come in. They had all the COVID. This is early on in this. And there's a Navy ship, I thought, that had a lot of cases of it. They said there have been 14 active duty deaths. There have been a total of 83,648 COVID-19 cases within the Navy, including active duty and civilians, according to the service. Of those cases, 164 resulted in deaths. All right. Yeah, remember that?
That was the Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay. That was early on, wasn't it?
Yeah, very early on.
And whatever came of that, like they were trying to get them, were they trying to get them vaccinated afterward? Or there wasn't a vaccine at that point? That was before the vaccine.
I think that was before the vaccine. Yeah. And that was one of the first instances where I heard of a sailor allegedly catching COVID twice. Because I think they started saying that they thought that some of the sailors there had tested positive multiple times. But the Theodore Roosevelt, something like, 90-something percent of the crew, I think,
had it
tested positive, if I remember correctly.
So, I mean, and go through. I don't think, I mean, they're showing you the stats. I don't think this is, because you could come on here and say, okay, well, what happens when these people refuse the vaccine? Do we lose our military readiness? It doesn't sound like that's coming. I mean, they said 90-something, high 90s have at least one shot, mm-hmm. and like 84 have had both shots,
right.
percent. It'd be easy to come on here and say, well, this is going to be a national security issue, but it sounds like, these folks are getting vaccinated, I guess.
Yeah, I think that, and speaking personally, I mean, my brother is in the military, and he wasn't he didn't plan on getting the vaccine. And, I mean, same reason that so many others didn't, because he's early 20s. Well, now he's mid-20s. He's great shape.
He's as healthy as they come.
Yeah, and they're all in fantastic shape doing what he does and doing what so many.
You're not a pilot, and you're not a lard butt and a pilot.
No, you wouldn't fit in the plane.
Yeah, they're pretty narrow.
But then once the word was out.
Can you say lard butt anymore?
I think you can. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, Joe Biden just said, God willing, and the creeks don't rise. So, I mean, that. He shouldn't be allowed to say that, right? Because that's about Creek Indians.
Right. A lot of people don't know that, by the way. It's not like the creek, not water. It's the Creek Nation,
mm-hmm.
So, which is, you know, story of Alabama.
Seemed incredibly racist for him to say that. But anyway, and then when he heard that the military was going to have to get it, he decided to go ahead, get it done.
So I don't know. I mean, there's going to be some signature stories of members of the military that leave because of the vaccine. But I think... kind of the culture of the military is they got vaccinated for everything. I mean, I think about, members of my family and my late father-in-law and all that, they would get, I mean, you deployed, you get, I mean, you just get the stuff. Here's what you're getting.
Exactly. It's like, don't even look at the list.
Right.
Just
this is what you're going to go and you're going to get this vaccination, that vaccination.
And, you know, some of the vaccines, including COVID, which have given people side effects, you know, just feeling sick or sore. I don't know what it'd be like to get... a bunch of vaccines in the same day, you know, with all the different.
Yeah, I don't.
Might not be terrible.
They'd probably stretch it out.
I mean, I heard somebody say it was like all in one day that they got popped with all these. But I feel differently about mandating your average American get this vaccine than I do the military. And maybe I'm off on that.
Well, you only will have to have it mandated as if you work at a company that has over 100 people, Dalton. It makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Because if you're at a company that has 99 or less, then there's no. I mean, once again, if we're going to say this is a public safety issue, like I disagree with this, but if we're going to try to play the logic of President Biden in this move here, if you're going to say it's a public safety issue, so we need to mandate these vaccines to get, you know, a higher number of people vaccinated, then why make it at 100? I mean, does the public, the company that has 101 people
mm-hmm.
and the company has 99 people, is it not a public safety issue at the 99 or less?
It makes zero sense, except that's the loophole, I guess, they figured that they could get through with OSHA compliance. I don't know if this OSHA, getting OSHA involved, if it would matter if they mandated it for companies with 10 employees and up, or if it had to be 100 employees and up or what. But someone asked the question this morning, the main thing still is, what about enforcement? Like, how are they going to – are they going to do like they are with illegal immigrant workers now and have the workers rat out their employers and basically encourage?
Well, they're not, they're slow to raid places that are employing a bunch of illegal workers. So maybe they'll be slow to
get the people, the companies.
Probably not though. It would be a shame if some illegal immigrants got caught up when they had to make a COVID raid. They had to make a vaccine raid.
Yeah. They would be let go.
They're like, man, we got to make this vaccine raid on this company. But there's a lot of undocumented migrants in here that might get swept up and let's not do this. So that's the key. There's your blood over the door, right? Is you make sure if you're a company over 100 people mm-hmm. and you're worried about getting raided on this mandate, you make sure to have a bunch of undocumented immigrants
exactly
on the payroll there, and therefore the federal government won't raid you because in doing that they would pick those people up. See, we've solved the problem.
Wow, another loophole this time for the other side.
It's a loopy hole, but it's a loophole indeed. Sean says on the text line, when you join the military. Well said. That's what I hear from my family members too, Sean. When you join the military, you become the property of the U.S. government. Joining the military is different than working at Amazon.
A little bit.
A wee bit. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 125 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, how you? Brian in Fairhope said, I remember when the military would give the multi-shot inoculation that left a round nickel-sized scar on your shoulder. Yeah, but But I know family members of mine that have that, older family members. I think that was smallpox, wasn't it? They left the, okay, I absolutely can picture it, you know, seeing it on older family members. Was it the right shoulder, left shoulder? I don't remember, but I do know the scar you're talking about. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106, and Travis is joining us now from Mobile. Hey, Travis.
Hey, how are you, man?
Oh, good. Oh, it's this Travis. Travis, hey, man.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, this is good because you're in the world. Your business is OSHA compliance.
Absolutely, yeah. Total Banking Safety, we help the general contractors and commercial contractors stay in compliance with OSHA. So that was actually one of the reasons why I called when I heard you talking about the OSHA viewpoint on everything.
Yeah, so what is it? Like, what are the directives?
So basically right now, and this is coming from the OSHA inspectors that I've dealt with, right now their main focus obviously is the hospital environment and in our industry what we know as general industry because these people are already working side by side with each other and agreed, you know, whether it's 99 or 100 to 1, you know, employees want to be protected. So what it being a temporary standard right now, the big thing that OSHA is going to be looking for in the workplace is how you're protecting the employees. And a lot of employers are getting away with being able to keep their employees safe by creating what's known as a respiratory program. So these guys can wear, you know, organic respirators or do the social distancing and coming from the OSHA inspectors, they're taking each scenario as a case-by-case basis because every working atmosphere is different. They're not really messing with the guys that are in the new construction because everything is so spread out and so open. But it will be enforced on the companies that have, you know, obviously 100, 200, 300 people. And if they come back and realize that you're not taking their suggestions, then you have what's known as a willful violation. And you can go anywhere from $13,000 up to $75,000 for one citation.
Yeah, I saw those dollar figures, pretty shocking. But am I reading this right that you get like a warning? You do get a warning before you get a fine, or can they come in there the first time and fine you?
They can come in the first time and pop you if it's significant enough. You know, a lot of people get the wrong idea about OSHA. They're not coming out there to hurt the employer. They're coming out there to help the employee. And a lot of it has to do with just pure training and knowledge. A lot of the employers don't know what they don't know. And that's why they call a professional or a consultant and say, hey, we want to be in compliance. How do we do it? And we come out there and we give them all the tools that they need to follow the rules.
Okay, but you got to help me here. This whole, what I feel is an arbitrary 100 employee thing. I got to tell you, if I was in that situation, either I'd let people go or 1099 or something to get myself under 100 to be more competitive, you know?
Oh, there'll be loopholes. I mean, they can, there's no rule that says you can't have a 99 or 101 independent contractors working.
Right. And so, that's what I'm saying. These things come up and these mandates come up, and even somebody like me sits there and goes, okay, well, the market will just change this way.
And that's exactly what's going to happen.
So, I mean, there's a man on the front line saying it. I appreciate your call, man. Be good.
Thanks, Sean. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. So, yeah, and the guy knows it. I mean, that's his business. So you do, it's a bunch of, it's silly time. You do this, oh, we're going to have this. And then you just, if you're close to the limit, or you split the company into two companies. Also, the meeting goes on at 2. Somebody's, yeah, it's at 2 today. So the governor's in town. Hello, Governor Ivey. How are you? Governor's in town. This sounds very interesting to me. And I have had some officials that may be on the air with me next week say, hey, I can't wait to get on the air with you, but I can't say anything until after this thing on Friday. So this thing on Friday starts at 2 from WKRG, and I think they're reporting it on the news, that the governor will be here at an event to announce $41 million in Go Mesa projects in Mobile and Baldwin County. So Go Mesa, that's the Gulf of Mexico. It's where we get the money for having the pipelines come through for oil and natural gas, right? And it's been a discussion of money that we could use, you know, for a lot of times boat launches, or the question was, could we use it for the bridge? Remember that back then? Well, this is $41 million awarded to 17 projects among Mobile and Baldwin counties. I see sewer infrastructure on there. That makes me happy. We'll give you an update. It's probably going to be after 2 today, though.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
at 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Get to the phones here, so stand by. Actually, go to the phones right now. Talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I was hanging out with him in person just a week ago. Let's talk about this. You and I talked about gifts and supply chains when I was in there a week ago. What's the situation now? Like, for y'all, I mean, this is a big deal because we're dependent on y'all to have the things for us to buy for the holidays.
Well, sure. And, you know, we've had a lot of people worrying about that, talking about that. I just had a call from a lady here in town. She has friends in Dothan, and they wanted to stock up on some gold and silver. She said they basically scoured the town of Dothan and were able to get one piece of gold and a little baggie of silver, very little. And yet, as you noticed when you were here, we've got plenty in stock. But we've spent the last year and a half reaching out to new suppliers, setting up a bigger pipeline, bigger supply chain. So even though things are taking a little longer to get here, that's okay because every week we're ordering stuff. So even if it's going to take 3 weeks to get here, the stuff from 3 weeks ago will be showing up. So everything's stretched out a little bit, but we've planned and prepared for that. And for example, normally it's this time of year that we start really stocking up on the open L's. Well, that's already been done. We had already restocked all our open L's. I'm now doing the holiday restocks as people are coming in shopping. We've done the same thing with our Christmas engravables. We've done the same thing with a lot of our pieces of jewelry. And just like I, you know, texted you the other day, we're still getting in and releasing some very, very beautiful estate pieces of jewelry every single week.
Very much so. And yeah, those open L knives, I tried to put a dent in them, but Angelo's got so much of a stock. I bought a bag full when I was in there last time, but still plenty of those. Those are like it's the ultimate Christmas gift. It really is. Or you're going to a party, birthday gift. They're great. Everybody loves a great, solid pocket knife.
Well, you know, so many of the things we have here, people get them or gift them once, and all of a sudden it becomes a tradition. We had somebody come in today and go, well, what new open L's are there so I can gift those? Because he's got three brothers, and now he gives them a different open L every single year. Also, a different silver dollar every single year. And makes me happy because he buys both of those right here.
It's perfect. All right. So right here is where? Tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, part of Midtown here. Online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. Check out all the cool stuff that's coming in every single week. Listening to us every week, Tuesday nights, FM Talk 106.5, Two Guys and Some Change. Or check out that radio show at TWO, guysandsomechange.com, if you miss it live.
Very good. Angelo, thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
Have a good one, buddy.
There he is. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Did you hear that little, like, the clip out there during the network news? So that's coming into us by satellite. I wonder if that had to do with the solar flare. The coronal mass ejection that was, but I thought that was supposed to hit. Today is today? Opening day of bow season. Oh, it's October 15th. So today's October 15th. I think it was supposed to hit on October 10th or 11th, but maybe it's some aftermath. I don't know. Also, I saw one of those stories about it. It said that the solar storm hits Earth, bringing the Northern Lights show as far south as New York. Y'all ever seen the Northern Lights? I have not. I mean, maybe a piece of them one time in Canada, but it was like you almost had to say, yeah, that is what I'm seeing. It wasn't this, like the pictures and video I see where I'm like, oh, that's not what I saw. I saw like the CYO version of the Northern Lights, but it's on a bucket list thing. I would definitely want to do that trip. I got at least one of my children is in. She wants to go too. So I don't. Have you seen those before? Is it all it's cracked up to be? Is it like, because I mean I'm gonna take a trip. I mean, we might go do other things, but I'm gonna take a trip to go see the Northern Lights. Should I do that? Am I gonna go? That was a disappointment. Have you seen it? And if you've seen it, tell me if it's worth, you know, if it's worth going to. All right, text line 343-0106. King of all unnamed texters, and one unnamed texter to rule them all. All these bad side effects are surfacing from the COVID vaccine, but we need everybody to get the shot. You know, there's and King. Believe me, I hear the same news stories. I think, but I also realize that if we look at other mass applied vaccines and things like that, there are some side effects for some people. My question is, what? Here's what I would like, and maybe I could dig and do my own research. But if somebody knows this or can direct me towards it, what's a? I'd like to see a list that shows, you know, 25 vaccines, and shows percentage of issues with it. Right, so you go through of a side effect, like list a bunch of vaccines. Is it less than 1%? Is it 2%? Is it 0.5%? Like, I would like to see all that stuff next to each other. That's just kind of how my brain works, so I could compare and contrast and see if this is, you know, how is this thing like way out of line, or is this in line, or all that. Terry says Northern Lights depends on activity level. Yeah, Terry, you lived in Alaska, didn't you? Good place to see it. And I've been to Alaska, but it's always in the summertime. Northern Lights depends on activity level. It can make you cry, or it can look like radioactive smoke. Don says, Sean, Northern Lights are one of the most incredible things you will ever witness in your life. Go to the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, the UP, with the Upers, right, Don? Go with the Upers. Maybe on a hunting trip. Yeah, I could do that. You can go to the edge of Lake Superior and watch it over the water. It's incredible. Don, when does that start, though? Is that a December thing? Is it a... It's like you usually see, you know, the images of the Northern Lights seem to be coming in like in January and February. Is it a thing that you can, does it start off like, is it like, you know, a little bit of Northern Lights maybe in November and then it's more? Does it do that in like peaks? Is there a peak to it and then it fades down as you go into spring? Or let me know. Northern Lights. Okay, good. Christmas is peak. Okay. So Northern Lights early in late November with Christmas being the peak. Yeah, okay. And Terry says the aurora is year-round, but you need the darkness. And I guess you get a lot of that in Alaska at Northern Reaches in the wintertime. All right, that's cool. So I just was wondering about that because that is on my list of things to do. Make a special trip for it. I think it's worth it. All right, what I was mentioning as we went to the break is this event coming up in just about 19 minutes with Governor Ivey talking about $41 million. Now, I think we'll probably be digging into this next week. Story from WKRG says the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act, GOMESA, was enacted by Congress in 2006 and provides revenue sharing funds from the Outer Continental Shelf oil and gas leasing activities in the Gulf of Mexico. More than $41 million will be awarded to 17 projects among Mobile and Baldwin counties. These projects focus on sewer infrastructure. Maybe this is the thing I've been calling for since the oil spill. Remember, I've been kind of on that same subject that, like, hey, if we get all this money, maybe we should try to tackle the in the water. We'll see. It says sewer infrastructure, water quality improvements. I like that. Land acquisition, research and recreational access improvements, which are all included in authorized uses of GOMESA funds. The announcement will be made at 2 this afternoon at the Five Rivers Delta Center in Spanish Fort. Joining the governor will be Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources Commissioner Chris Blankenship. He's one of us. He's down home, even though he's director in Montgomery. He's our people. Of course, local representative Matt Simpson, Dolphin Island Mayor Jeff Collier, and Spanish Fort Mayor Mike McMillan, among others. But there's a tell. Okay, so, So Dolphin Island's going to get some. The fact that the mayor's there. Spanish Fort's got to get some project or multiple projects because Mike McMillan's going to be there. So I'm just reading through this. Matt Simpson, who has a district that's in that area there at Spanish Fort, but also stretches across into Mobile County, is going to be there. Chris Blankenship makes sense because it's kind of over the whole thing. All right. I'm just trying to, we'll find out. We'll find out here later this afternoon. I'm sure I'll have those interviews next week and we can find out who got what and what it's going to be. Oh, and before we head to the news here too, did you see the story came out today on the not guilty verdict in the fight that prompted the Bayou Brawl? Headline here, not guilty verdict in fight that prompted Bayou Brawl charge against Theodore Coach. From the very talented Andrea Ramey, says in surveillance video NBC 15 News obtained first, you see a large group of men standing at the end of the dock at Bayou Battery on Mother's Day weekend. We remember all this, right? And the fight that broke out. Video captures when the brawl erupted. Okay. You remember they said pictures later sent by parents show eye injuries of three young men on the boat sustained. One victim had a broken nose. Another required 10 stitches and a wound near his eye. Remember, like, we were trying to drown one guy? It was like, this is crazy. Bayou Battery police say the perpetrators were Coach Collier and three other of his family members are all charged with misdemeanor assault. Collier's son also claimed to be a victim and filed assault charges against Hunter Hinton for punching him on Dauphin Island earlier that day. All right, so then it comes down here and says, so what's the verdict? The judge, okay, there you go. A Wednesday night, Hinton had his day in court. A judge found him not guilty of assaulting Collier's son. He was one that caused the commotion. He got pushy with them, and then somebody pushed back. Nobody jumped on him or assaulted him. If anything, they acted in self-defense when they were up in their face trying to cause trouble, said Dean. They're talking, who represented Hinton. Okay, and then attorney Dennis Nisley represents Eric Collier, says a verdict in the first fight has no bearing on the assault case against the coach. Okay, so it's just part of this. All right, it's part of that story, but not the full story. It's the counter charge. All right, the counter charge there. So now we get more on that. I'm sure this will be a story going forward. All right, coming up, we'll be checking in with a news update from WKRG. Also, we'll be joined by Ruth Carmichael. She's an attorney, also a nurse that then went to law school. She works with Taylor Martino. She's going to be joining us as we wind up this edition of Midday Mobile. Reminder, too, got Auburn football on tomorrow. You can check it out. Dalton, you said, 10 o'clock. So 10 o'clock. Right after Prep Sports Report, you'll get the start of the Auburn broadcast here at FM Talk 106.5, and then you can check it out there. And do the and you know what? You want to use the app? I hear a lot of people saying they're using the app when it comes to how they listen to the game. So check it out. Be right back.